I don't take standing behind in a pulpit very lightly. It is a very serious matter because if I ever lead someone astray because of what I teach and preach, I can't even begin to imagine the impact that is going to have. And, you know, that is one of the driving force behind my life that I continue in one sense because of my family. And, well, it's part of my message, but anyways. You know, friends and families, they have said to me that, oh, it's only temporary. And I said, no, it's not, to myself. Oh, to them too, I said, no, it's not. Because when I got saved, everything went. All the wrong that I could ever find, it just everything went. The mindset changed, and it's a serious matter. Hell is a serious, I mean, it exists. How can I convince others to live in such a way that when they see you, they see God through your life? And there's so many people have abandoned and given things up, given up the, you know, once they held dearly to their life of this faith that has been delivered to us. And now I see so many people that has gone astray. And this morning I want to talk to you about this a little bit. The 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you'll stand to your word, stand for the word of God, reading the word of God, you just follow me, and I'll read about three verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, tonight I pray that you would help me to deliver this message so that I can be an encouragement and bring challenge in our hearts so that we may better serve you with our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. In chapter 1, you'll find Paul's love to Timothy and unfeigned faith that was in Timothy himself, and also his mother and grandmother. And he's exhorted to stir up the gifts of God which was in him, to be steadfast and patient in persecution, and to persist in affirming the truth of the doctrine which he had learned of him. In chapter 2, here you find, you know, Timothy is again exhorted again to, you know, stay firm and, you know, preserve and to do the duty of a faithful servant of the Lord and to endure the hardness as a soldier of Christ. Now tonight I want to talk about, you know, the soldier of Christ, but the long ago, a while back, I've read this novel about this Japanese soldier who fought World War II 30 years. The title of the book is called No Surrender, you know, My 30-Year War. But I'm going to take that and also, you know, the Word of God, and I'm going to, you know, I encourage every one of you tonight to continue. The one other thing that I've noticed that the reading the book, and also, you know, I've not been in a military, so I don't exactly know what takes place. One other thing is this, you know, good soldier of Jesus Christ stays put in the place of his commission. Now, this man that fought at World War II for 30 years, his name is Hiro Onoda. Now, when he got out of school, he knew that it is a matter of time before he get drafted into the military. So he traveled to China and found various different jobs to explore a little bit. Then he got drafted. Now, Lieutenant Onoda, he was drafted into Japanese Army, but then he decided to join Special Intelligence to better serve his country. And upon acceptance, he was placed in Special Intelligence Group. There they were encouraged one another to do well and was trained to fight the guerrilla war. Likewise, when you got saved, It was by choice, was it not?
Yes.
It was by choice. So, when you got saved, it was by choice. And, we were together and encourage each other to do well. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
That's good.
But there are many who chose to forsake the assembling tonight, or throughout the churches, independent Baptist churches, I won't be surprised, and to choose to engage in other activities. Some activities, I'm going to say this again and again and again, some of the things that we do, it is in one sense innocent. It is one sense it's harmless. It is one, in one sense, it really is not wrong. But then when you do things that they hinder you to serve God, then it's wrong.
Yes,
it's wrong. See, along with the training, Onoda was required to study the, material that was given to him. And due to the circumstances, the duration of training was shortened to half. Excuse me. Because of it, training was accelerated and study was doubled. Whatever the material that was given to Lieutenant Onoda to study was important for him to become effective intelligence. Therefore, they expected Lieutenant Onoda to study, and that he did. This word of God. This word of God is given to us because it is important in our lives to live victorious Christian life. Thereby, we have to serve God effectively, and God expects us to study it, meditate upon it, and hide it in our hearts. Here you'll find in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Get this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
That's good.
It is important that you take your time daily, get into this word of God, not just read it. Study it. Study it. And the question comes, when was the last time you opened the Word of God and studied it? I mean, really study it. Not just skim over it, just read over it. Study it. God says that in Hosea chapter 4, 6, it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How are you going to do that without studying? How are you going to do that without, equipping yourself or arming yourself? God says it is important. And after training was over, Lieutenant Onoda was put in Island of Lubang in 1944, Philippines. The place he was put, it was a strategic place for Japanese army. What God or where God puts you is a strategic place. We need to learn to stay put and serve God, encouraging one another. To go soul winning, knocking on the doors, telling others about the matchless love of Christ. Instead, in a lot of independent Baptist churches, they were always bickering, you know, arguing about certain things, becoming jealous about a certain individual, and say, well, you know, I should have been the teacher, or I should have been the deacon, or I should have been. Look, before you complain, how about you show yourself faithful first? It is important. It is important. Lieutenant Onoda never got jealous. He was always supportive of others and encouraged others to do well. Apostle Paul never got jealous. He always encouraged others to do well. Secondly, good soldier stands proudly in presence of cowards and casualties. During that time, there were 206 Japanese soldiers in the island of Luban. In 1944, Americans landed in Luban and killed or captured 202 of them. Four of them did not give up. Instead, they fled to the mountains. But nevertheless, Akatsu surrendered in 1949. Shimada was killed in 1959. And Kozuka was killed in 1972. And Lieutenant Onoda became alone, but he never gave up the fight. See, many Christians have surrendered and joined the world and are engaged in wicked activities tonight. Or not just tonight, throughout. I see this time and time. You know, it makes me wonder, how can an individual that says, I'm saved, I'm going to such and such Baptist church, and without a blinking an eye, can walk into the bar, light a cigarette, or talk dirty in a company of a lot of the people, you know, giving dirty jokes and whatever not. It boggles my mind. You know, many have rendered useless and sits on a sideline. Many have become just pew warmers, just to satisfy their conscience. They say, well, I went to church today. You know, it takes man to stand for Christ. You know, there are so many Christians who are, you know, shaky about Jesus Christ. You know, and they're shaky about the Word of God. But you know, Apostle Paul, he was shaking by Christ and the Word of God and shook the entire world. Apostle Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, look, I'm not giving up. I'm going to press on. Amen. I'm going to serve God.
That's good.
It is vital, essential in our life to get out there and serve God.
Amen.
Put forth a testimony that the world need to see that says God exists.
Yes. Amen.
We are the only walking, you want to call only walking Bible that they have in their life. Let alone the Christian doesn't get into, you know, reading the Word of God. You can't expect the world to do so. We are it. We are it. Thirdly, good soldier waits and serves patiently in the purpose of his conscience. Lieutenant Onoda never gave up the fight. And there were at the times that his brother, mother, father came to the island of Luban with the loudspeakers to convince him to give up, but he would not. The loudspeakers, he'll, you know, mother and father, and says, Hiro Onoda, The war is over. Give up. Give up. Come on down. It's over. And Onoda said, the enemy got into my family. I must stay firm. Enemy has succeeded brainwashing my family. You know? I faced the same thing when I first got saved, as I began talking about it a little bit. Friends, just, you know, say, oh, it'll be just, it'll be over in a few, you know, in a little bit. And same time when here's my, you know, my parents, you know, praise me or us for raising our kids in such a way that say, oh, you guys are doing a good job. You guys are doing a good job. But yet, disapproval of our stance in God. It doesn't make any sense. But anyways, you know, the many search parties came. Many leaflets were dropped in effort to convince Lieutenant Onoda to give up. And when he saw these leaflets, he said, man, these enemies, they should master the Japanese. I mean, you know, it was written just so that says that, yeah, it's Japanese who wrote it. Today, I can tell you, although, you know, I've forgotten, you know, the Japanese, most of it, I mean, I'm sure it'll come back around, but I can tell you right away that if an individual comes to me and says, yeah, I'm Japanese, first thing I would ask is, write your name. By the way the individual writes his name, I can tell whether or not he's lying. There is a way that we're taught to write the strokes of the a pen and whatever not. There is a way. So anyway, there's Onoda. He says, man, these guys mastered it. I mean, you know, you can hardly tell. But he says, these devils. He says, these devils. He says, I'm not going to give up. That he would not, for his country was counting on him for success of this operation, and he could not let them down. See, there are many Christians who give up the fight because of the family or friend. They have been persuaded by family or friend that it is better to be in the world pursuing career, getting nice homes, having fancy cars, nice and elaborate furnishings, and having a fat bank accounts. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with, you know, pursuing career. If, you know, you got a career, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with having nice homes and nice stuff. But wrong, you know, sad thing about it, many have departed from serving God by pursuing the worldly things. And again, my question comes. While you are busy with the world, I wonder how many family members and friends have passed on to eternity without Jesus Christ. You get so caught up in it, you quit. A lot of people have sweat, you know, quit serving. I've seen people that went to Bible college that says, I'm called to preach. Part of the way through and says, I'm gonna go back in the world. I'm gonna make me some money. Then once I, you know, get caught up in bills, and once I get, you know, to make start making money, then I'll come back and serve God. It never happens. Right. Never happens. Right. See, someone said this. I don't know who. The believer influences the unbeliever by what he is, not by what he has. Because they'll look at you as to what you are, what you are, what you're made out of. Are you real or are you phony? Apostle Paul said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For do I not persuade men, O God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There are many Christians who are getting too comfortable in the world while many souls are going to hell. Fourthly, good soldier suffers patiently in the power of our circumstances. And during those 30 years, Lieutenant Onoda told about how for the 30 years he suffered getting wet whenever it rained, and he told about the pain and the weariness and having no doctor wherever or whenever he got wounded or got sick. And he said there were many days that he did not have food and he starved. And it, you know, it is more difficult to recover from wound or sickness without food. But you know, he nevertheless, he endured the suffering and did not give up because of the circumstances. There are many Christians giving up because of the circumstances in their life. Whenever circumstance arises, instead of going to God or a man of God, many will go to their friends or family for advice and they get wrong counsel. And many will have, you know, whenever they have a financial difficulties, you know, the family's or friend's advice is to quit tithing if you're tithing. Well, let me tell you something. That's the wrong thing to do. It's the wrong thing to do. You know, I say this time and time. Even a hard time came in my life, I still tithe. And I've seen God's hand in my life, how he had blessed us, me and my wife, throughout the, you know, our lives. You know, in the beginning, well, you know, I mean, when I first got saved, I would drop a dollar or two a year, maybe $5 a year, you know. And after a while, my wife says, shouldn't you be tithing? Give tithing as a, what are you talking about? You know, 10%. You crazy? Woman, you, what are you talking about? But as I grew, I began to learn and I began to understand this word of God. I can't deny it. I can't deny what God wanted me to do. Tithe. Believe me, I had the hardest time. In the beginning, I says, okay, I'll bump it up to $20. So I did that for a while. And you know, my wife, you know, she just, okay. So I bumped it up to $40. Well, it still wasn't tight, you know, at that time. And so I finally began to give. And little by little, God began to bless. And there were certain convictions that came in my life that said, okay, I need to pull my kids out from the public school, put them in private school. So there came a time in my life where I was, you know, I was paying for the private school for my younger kids that we had after we got saved, and paying for the college tuition for the older kids that we had before we got saved. Well, let me tell you something. We talk about squeezing, but I never give up. You know, from out of nowhere, all of a sudden, here comes a check, and it says, "I believe that you could use this. I know that it is difficult for you to, you know, juggle finance." Never said anything to anybody. We talked about it. But it's almost down to a penny, almost. Well, a few cents was left over. The oddest part about it is that when someone writes you a check or someone gives you money, they'll give you, you know, 100 or 150 or 75 or, you know, 150, whatever. Well, we got a check for 870 something odd dollars. I said, I look at that, I says, God. Yes. Only God could do this. Amen. It wasn't the only time that happened. You have a difficulty? Go to God. Go see man of God. And, you know, don't go see someone else or someone that is not faithful serving God. They'll more than likely, you know, oftentimes they'll give you the wrong advice in their life. And if you're having any kind of a marital family issue, you know, their advice is to seek the world counseling. And without a doubt, the end result, many quit serving God by these advices. And Apostle Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Amen.
He said, if I gotta suffer, if I gotta go hungry, it's all right. Because, look, I know my end. I cannot predict the future. But this one thing I know, because of the Word of God. One day, I'll be in heaven. I'll be in home with God. Nothing should ever turn out right in my life. Just knowing that promise of God in my life, that He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just by promise, that these promises that God has given me, it's good enough for me. And I get proud of my son-in-law, my oldest daughter, is that first 4 years when they got in ministry, for the first 4 years of that ministry, they lived out of two-car garage for the first 4 years. Baby and both of them. They never gave up. I see that, you know, and I said, well, that's the way to be. That's the way to be. But the most proudest moment is about that, when they're going through all this. Here I'm sitting there watching. I try to help them a little bit here, a little bit there. The proudest moment is that they were always happy. They were at peace.
Amen.
That's, you know, I see that, and I you see that you see that all the time, you know, from a lot of the missionaries. The people that's out there serving God, they have nothing, but they are content and satisfied.
Yes,
that they're in the will of God, serving God. And I see that, I says, wow, wow. I like that.
Amen.
You know, so Apostle Paul says, look, I know how to abound, I know how to suffer. It's no big deal, which it really isn't. Really isn't. You know, even today, you know, we don't talk about it much now. I'm at the, you know, we're at the place where kids are gone. But I remember the times where we struggle so much that we're gonna end up losing everything. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Even if we do, we're gonna continue serving God. That is our God.
Amen.
That is God who died upon a cross. My sin, so that I would never end up in hell, home in heaven. In early 1974, this university dropout named Suzuki decided he is going to explore the world, and he told his friends that he is going to look for Lieutenant Onoda, Panda, Abominable Snowman, in an order. And many of his friends laughed at him, saying, hey, okay. He says, well, first of all, you're never going to find Lieutenant Onoda. Panda, well, I mean, it's, you know, Abominable Snowman, yeah, okay. So anyways, he went to, you know, Isle of Luvang, and he found a Lieutenant Onoda 4 days later. Actually, it was Onoda who allowed himself to be found. Because think about that. They could not find him. They could not catch him for the 30 years. And there it is, this college dropout. Boom, he finds it. So, you know, Suzuki told Onoda that war is over. But Onoda refused to believe Suzuki. So Suzuki asked Onoda, what would it take for you to stop fighting? And Onoda told Suzuki he would have to receive an oral and written orders from his commanding officer. He said, that'd be the only way. So Suzuki went back to Japan and found one of Lieutenant Onoda's former commanding officer, Major Taniguchi. Suzuki returned to Island Lubang, set up a tent, made an arrangement for Major Taniguchi and Lieutenant Onoda to meet. So Lieutenant Onoda and Major Taniguchi finally met with Lieutenant Onoda at the tension. Major Taniguchi gave Lieutenant Onoda the final orders. War is over. Stop your fighting. With that, Lieutenant Onoda unbolted his rifle, emptied the bullets, and said, would I really have no more use of this rifle that I had polished and cared for like a baby for all these years? Without a doubt, that Lieutenant Onoda would have gone fighting if he had not received the order to stop. Lieutenant Onoda surrendered in 1974, March the 10th. Dear brother and sister in Christ, tonight I'm here to tell you that our commanding officer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ascended to heaven some 2,000 years ago, gave us in the marching orders, go ye therefore. And he is yet to return.
Yes, sir.
It is our duty. It is our duty to continue marching and fighting until he returns.
That's good.
Look, your family, your friends, there's a world that is unsaved. It's counting on us. Jesus Christ is counting us to get this job done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for all that you do. But Father, we're not worthy to be in your soul, in your army, but nevertheless, you chose us to be in your army. Father, I pray that you would continue to prod us, to push us, to encourage us to continue to serve you, Father. And thank you for all that you've done. Now tonight, my invitation is this, just simple. We're going to stand to our feet in a little bit. If God spoke to you tonight, again, do business with God. Come forward or kneel wherever you are, but do business with God. God wants us to continue fighting. Let's all stand.